So, when your children were born, did you have them at the local hospital?
Well, we just had got a private hospital, our first private hospital, and it was in High Street, near opposite the fire station. And of course, my mother thought, as she had always helped the district nurse, my mother, for many years she used to help her. I think she helped the district nurse's mother too.
Mm-hmm.
And she would have me go to the private hospital. But I wasn't very happy at all when we came home that and my mother wasn't, so I lost that child. It was born and breathed, and that was all because I hadn't been sent for, a doctor hadn't been sent for in time.
Was that your first child?
That was the first one, and it was only across the road. But the nurse had gone out for the afternoon and left her sister-in-law there to keep me company. And when he came back, it was really too late. It had choked. Through stretching, put clothes on the old-time clotheslines with clothes props and that. And so the next time I had another one, about 2 years after, and I went to the... I stayed home, and the nurse came to me.
Oh.
And I had a girl who was 53 now, and the doctor didn't get there quick enough the next time to the home, because that was my second child. And then the next one I had a boy, and that was in my new house too. And everything was good with that one. And the next one I had at my mother's house, because we still had three houses there. And and they grew up and went to the same school that I went to, down in Henry Street, the primary school.
Mm-hmm.
And of course then I belonged to mother's clubs and all this with the children. But they eventually moved, one would move up to the new school that we built in High Street, and one would start down the infants, and then we got the new high school. And put in a tender for the new high school canteen, and I got it. And I had that for 13 years, and as one child left one school, the other one started at that school. So
mm-hmm.
that's how they got through school.
Mm-hmm.
And
did they walk to school from home too?
Yes, we weren't far from the school, the high school especially,
mm-hmm.
and we weren't that really far from the primary school, because the town was still on the other side of the primary school,
mm-hmm.
and then the two girls learnt music, and the eldest girl now, she played for St. Stephen's here at church, and she used to go in concerts and that, but... she lives at Budrum now, and she's a naturopath MD at Budrum, and she plays for the church at Budrum at Marichi Door, I think the church
mm-hmm.
is in. And she loves that. She plays the organ every Sunday morning. And
what did you do for recreation in those days?
We don't seem as if we did that much at all. The pictures started,
mm-hmm.
And they were allowed to go to the pictures. I think it was sixpence. Was only sixpence, and you've got a bottle of drink, I think, for about threepence.
Mm-hmm.
So they're allowed to get the pictures on Saturday afternoons, and otherwise I didn't let them go out to people's place to play. I liked the city to come to my place, because we had plenty of room. But we had a big paddock next to us, and the girls always seemed to play with their dolls, and the eldest girl played the piano, so she'd play the piano, and she got a lot of enjoyment out of that. And the next girl, she used to play with the boy, they were near one, a bit closer to age, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And they just played around the place. They never went away to play or anything. They didn't belong, there was no scouts in that I know of then.
They made their own fun?
Yeah, they made their own fun. They did storybooks and chased one another around the houses, cowboys and Indians and that sort of thing. And
did you go on family picnics?
We used to, not with the children, we had no car when they were real little,
mm-hmm.
and when they got older, of course, we had a car, and we used to take them, we were still going to school then, but no, we didn't go out, we just had, no, I just think I sort of a bit stuck for what we did when they were growing up. They They seem to be book fiends and play mm-hmm. with dolls and books and that. And I had taught them in their early ages to find their amusement at home. Mm-hmm. Never thought about letting them go out. So they used to play at home. Mm-hmm. They would have perhaps a little girl across the road come over and a little boy. But no, they never worried me about wanting to go away anywhere like that.
And what would your daily routine have been when the children were little?
Well, I took on the hobbies of doing handicrafts. And I used to plait raffia on my big brand that I had, a plait raffia. And then I'd sew it together in baskets. I used to make the big coloured raffia flowers on the side of them. And I found a bit of a business in that, selling these baskets up as far as Lithgow, you know. And, everybody seemed to have one of these baskets for their shopping. And so that filled in my days a lot, and I, as I say, I did do handicrafts, and I did belong to three different Mother's Day clubs. And, but of course, as the kiddies were getting that size, I was still at the high school, at the canteen.
Yeah.
So my days were taken that way, and then their days were taken, they had to have their homework to do.
And you did all your own cooking and housework?
Oh yes. And I used to play the piano, I used to play for the silent movies.
Did you?
And that was before I was married though.
Mm.
And my brother-in-law had played at the cornet, and my husband, it wasn't my husband then, he was my boyfriend, he used to play the violin.
Mm.
So that was a full orchestra on Saturday nights for 30 shillings.
Where was that? At the
Dungown. And not the, I'm sorry, not the Dungown. It was the Dungown, I'm sorry. Getting mixed because the first theatre we used to have was an open air one, you know, and you took your umbrella in case of rain.
Yeah.
And it was the Dungown, and we used to play there. I'd play on Wednesday nights on my own, and Saturday afternoon I'd play and get 5 shillings for the matinee, and that was a lot of money. And I wasn't married then, and I saved up and I bought a bedroom suite for £8, and it was a full size. Double wardrobe and dressing table and washstand and all for £8. And when my mother's house was sold, about 8 or 9 years ago, and that bedroom suite would have been in the house, so it's somewhere mm-hmm. pops around the district.
Yeah.
And that's how cheap they would have been. But
and did was there dancing in the local church hall?
Yeah, the local church, not in the church hall, we never had dancing. We had it in the band hall, and we used to play the dance music free for the band, because the brother-in-law was the band master, see. And that was before I was married. And we'd play there on Friday nights, because we played the pictures Saturday nights. And real good, clean crowd. No, nobody went out of the hall. Everybody came there to dance. And Monte Carlo seems the most popular dance, and you had 4 cards you put around the room, clubs, hearts, diamonds, spades, and if you was in one of those, music stopped, you had to stand still.
Mm-hmm.
And then someone would open a pack of cards, and the heart was showing, everybody on the heart square had to go off the floor, and that's how they would find the winner out of it, you know. But we might have had one through the week too, and there might be someone there who could play a piano and give you a break, and you'd have a dance yourself on. Mm-hmm. And you got supper. I suppose it was 1 and 6 again. That was the popular price to go to, 1 and 6. And then have supper again. And that probably had the lammies again. My mind just won't take me back to what, but it was supper, 1 and 6 and supper. And we finished at 11 o'clock at night, the dancing. And everybody went their way home. And
what about in the 30s and 40s? The later 40s, how had the place changed by then, very much, or was it much
the same? No, well, we're getting a few more shops in the town. We had Moran and Cato's and the Green Coupons, and Fetchers has expanded and made their store much bigger. They had separate menswear and separate drapery part, all in one shop, but separate sections instead of everything in the one door. And I suppose you might probably employed about 8 people. And that was a big shop, and we had 8 people. And Keith Sames with the produce store next door. There were still plenty of horses around, and we had troughs in the street for the horses to drink out of. And And the first taxi arrived in the town, and it was called a sit down. A sit down was called, not a sedan, a sit down. Because everybody wanted to ride in it, but was wondering how much it would cost. And I suppose it was probably about a shilling or something like that, 1 and 6 a day. I was playing at the picture show when that took place. But we had got quite a few shops in the town then. And Arnie J shop had expanded to 2 shops. And I worked in one of those. I left Fletcher's and I went to Arnie J to run one shop for him then. And we had, every organisation that had been formed would have a ball during the year and that. Even the band, which was only started off very small, but it got into a good size. And Jamison Town, I don't think it progressed very that much. Cemetery was a great, Jamison Town, one cemetery. And my grandmother and grandfather, 1904, 1916, they died, they were buried there. And the child I lost was buried there. And I think it's just all grass now these days, but I think there is still a fence right around the area. And
I suppose in the 30s it was still fairly unbuilt up around here.
Getting mixed up like that. A lot of people lived out, loved them on dairies and that.
Mm.
Mulgar and that.
When did you move to Regensville?
That's where I started off. I was born at Regensville.
Oh, right. And it was when you lived in Henry Street.
I lived in Henry Street all my life until I left there 30 years ago. I was still in Cox Avenue, Penrith, which was Henry Street. They renamed it because
the gates cut. That's very industrial now.
Pardon?
Cox Avenue area is very industrial now.
Right up the end of this, up over the hill to the cemetery.
Mm.
Yes. I'm still friends with a girl that lived up there near the cemetery, and I went to see her the day before yesterday, and she's only in Derby Street.
Mm-hmm.
I went to see one in York Road that married Price, that had all charge of all the petrol in the town. And Heather, my niece, Heather Corr, her husband was the carter in the carrier in the town for years and years, a well known family name, of course. I visit quite a lot of people here when I come back to town because I said I went to school here. But we used to have the funeral. The funerals were all horse drawn, and the sulkies were the mourning coaches, and you could hire them on weekends, 2 shillings an hour. So we used to get one Sunday afternoon for 6 shillings for the afternoon, and a couple of the other girls and boys together. But we couldn't get one horse to pass the other. We had to follow one another. And we'd go right to Mulgara and cross country to Orchard Hills and back in Kingswood Way. So the horses didn't knock up on us. But there was one chap, Clegg, from out Orchard Hills, and his people had a horse and so he'd drive catch the train of the morning, the fish train which used to come from the mountains. And fish and chips, the 2 trains were called. One didn't stop and one didn't pick up and the other one did. They were called fish and chips on account of the guard and the driver, and that the names were fish and chips. Were fish, Mr. Fish and Mr. Chips or something. So that's how they got their name. These people used to drive in for that train. And Mum would bring them in and go back. It was a little sulky and it was a little horse. And he'd come on the drive on Sunday afternoon and he'd gallop along out to Mulgar and our horses would pass, as I said. But we could never catch him. And he'd get ahead and he'd sit and wait and we're all laughing when we got there and then way down and leave us again. Well, that was all the fun we had.
A bit different today.
And then paddock next to us, one of them had a motor car. I think it might have been Jeff Carroll. People might have had a motor car, and he'd come in the motor car and turn the headlights on, and we'd go out in the paddock, about 25 of us, and we'd play kiss in the ring, drop the handkerchief, forfeits, and inside into the piano and round the piano and sing. My husband played the violin and everybody stand around and sing, and that was most of our fun, was just standing around singing. And then of course Mum put a nice supper on again. We used to call her Good Old Faithful.
Could I ask you, when you were married, and who handled the household finances? Did you or your husband?
Well, we did it between us, because he only got, I think my father might have been getting more then, and my husband got £4.2 and 6 a week, but we had to allocate what we were doing with, and we had little bottles.
Uh-huh.
This was the lodge, 2 shillings a week, and that was the, we have other bottles, electricity mm-hmm. and gas down at Parramatta we started off. So we had little bottles with the label on what they were, mm-hmm. and 2 and 6 only for each tobacco for a week. Big, great difference now. But
no credit or anything like that in those days?
No, mm-hmm. no. It was no good you asking anyhow. You wouldn't get it. But never thought of after, you had to live with what you wanted. Whatever you wanted that you couldn't pay for, you had to have a lay-by.
Yeah.
And we never wanted anything unless we owned it. We always sort of had a lay-by for your linen and that, for your household things. But
after the war, when things started to change, how did you feel about that, when the area started to become more populated and more built up?
It was amazing where the people came from. My brother-in-law used to have a boot shop, and he would only get paid half as many times as what the shoes were that he did. And when the war started, nobody ever asked for credit. Everybody had money,
mm-hmm.
and they never had so much money. And we didn't have to live in a ration, we just had more. And I had a sister that had a business, a sister-in-law that had a business. And she really made money while the war was on. And all those different soldiers from different places came to town.
Yeah.
And it was a bit of a boom thing then. And
the women had a tourist area, was it, Penrith?
I don't know about that then, but the women all had to go to work. They didn't have to go, but they wanted help, wanted men, and they didn't have the men had gone to war. So the women used to go out on the fields here, even up in Port Macquarie, they've got a land army that they used to have. They have a reunion,
mm-hmm.
And they used to be out in the fields or picking or pulling and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I can remember when the war was on, and I think I might have been about 8 or 9, when the troops marched from Cowra to go on their boat to Sydney, my mother got permission to make little bouquets and give each trooper bouquet as they went past the reservoir
mm-hmm.
at Port Macquarie, that's halfway between Penrith and Kingsway. And she got permission, and she was told that the sergeant would slow them down a bit, and they were going when they got near the reservoir, just getting out of Penrith. And so two sisters were 17 and 19 then, or something like that. And they got up early and made all these little loop buttonholes.
Oh, yeah.
That was
the First World War, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Mm. Yeah, that one, yeah. And of course, I was given a tray too, and we ran in and out the soldiers with trays and gave them all. Everyone had a bouquet. And of course, then when they went to the war, they needed socks and put their names and address down in the socks, and they used to get replies to it and that. But,
and then after the Second World War, when the war was over, what was Penrith like then? How had it changed, or how
the
did
second
it change?
One?
Say, looking at the 1950s, what was it like then?
It was really getting a go on. When the troops came home, the town started going mad when the troops had come home. When they were going, they all waved away, you know, on the trains, the long carriages and that they had too. And when they came home, well, the town really turned it on, and we never saw so many young fellas in the town as what came down to Penrith then, wherever they came from, whatever places they came from. But, pitches were getting on 3 nights a week. That was really probably fabulous for pitches to be on 3 nights a week. And Well, of course, there were always plenty of dancers on in the different halls. They'd always have dancers on and that. But there'd be a lot of, you have house parties and that. And boys would come up for the weekend from Sydney that had made friends with someone down this or down that way. And,
what about the shops? They changed a lot.
All the shops have gone through a boom time with the war on, that they probably all expanded, and we had more shops. We had a lot of shops by then. And,
I suppose you had a lot of neighbours too by then.
Oh, we had all the street got taken up with houses. And I can remember my mother wanted my father to buy a house up the road a little bit on the other side. It was only £350, and they had a big block of land on it. And when the war finished, Dad wouldn't buy it. He said, "You got your deeds, you keep them. You don't put your deeds in and lose them, perhaps." So he wouldn't buy it. Someone else bought it, and 8 houses went up on the block of land, and our street got full then. That was the 1950, and then we had the new high school, of course, by then too. I think it would have been about 1950. I think that we got the new high school a bit before that.
And how did you feel with all the new houses around you? Did you feel you were getting hemmed in at all, or did you feel?
Oh
less
no,
free,
that didn't worry me. No. I just thought it was lovely. All the people, I didn't mind the people, and we never ever minded the people. My family, because we just love people, and we still do to this day. Anyone who comes to our place is welcome any time. I forgot to mention that in the older days, the tramps were around those days, you know. Tramps, we used to call them, and they'd be walking from wherever to wherever, and they'd come to your back door for see if you'd give them something to eat. And Mum would always make sandwiches, and it'd be the next day, perhaps another one would arrive, and he'd say, "Oh, I met so-and-so down St Mary's or somewhere," and he'd come for something to eat. That was what used to go in those days. But 1950s, there were dancing teacher here then, all dancing classes and concerts I think it was clubs of all sorts through the war. The Women's Auxiliary had started and something else for the women, and then all the ones that were in the war, they got together, they made up another club when they came home, the WAFs and all the different things. I think it made me think now about 1950.
Jumping forward, isn't it?
Yes.
I just wondered how when you talking about all the old days and feeling the atmosphere of the place then, how it's changed.
Oh,
say in the 50s and 60s.
Well, I much sooner have for 30 years ago than today. And
why is that?
Well, I used to I'd go down the street now when I come to visit, and I don't like it because I don't know anybody. And I knew everybody. I hardly know anybody now unless I come to visit my relations at their houses. I've been in the street twice since I've been here this week, and I met one person to say hello to. You miss them. It's really sad. And now, because we have so much culture and that around, that there's as much of that in the street as what there was our own lot, you know. That helps make you feel that you don't know anyone. And
do you also feel sad to see all the old buildings, all the old landmarks that have gone?
Oh, I hate to think of some of them. Levy's building, you know. We always said Levy's. Always be Levy's to the older people, I suppose. And the fire station, we used to sit on the fire brigade every Friday night while Dad was on duty, you know, and the shops were open till 9 o'clock. Now they're back to where they started again, you see, the shops are open.
That'd be nice again.
And the band used to play then, though, and of course there wasn't the cars. The band would play on the road, not off on the footpath, on the road, in the gutter sort of thing.
They probably couldn't do that today.
They probably get knocked over today if they did that.
What about the space around the houses and that sort of thing? Do you miss that too?
Oh yes, it's getting shorter, isn't it, the area around the, getting narrower and narrower. But I was going to say that they never had a swimming pool, I don't think, for about 1950 or 40 or 50, I can't remember, but I know that we, when I was little, we were taken to the river with a teacher,
mm-hmm.
and we had to walk the mile down to the river, and we wore one-piece black costumes. We had to wear sand shoes because there were so many stones in the river,
mm-hmm.
and the doctor's daughter would have black Italian cloth top on with a girdle around the waist and about 10 or 12 inches hanging on the bottom of the top. But then she had long bloomers on under that black Italian cloth. They went over her knees with elastic in, mm-hmm. and she had sand shoes on and black stockings.
Really? Swimming?
And a little black cap. And that's how she had to go in. We didn't have to do that. We had the one piece black. We didn't have any choice of colour costume. You just had black, and that was it. But we were always frightened because the stones make you slip over quite easily. But that's how we had to learn until the younger generation got a swimming pool. So now that's fine for them now.
And the river probably wouldn't be too nice to swim in now either.
Well, perhaps not. I suppose the stones would still be there. And we did have a couple of times that somebody washed over the wheel, you know, and then half the rains had been on and that, and little bits of daredevils. But,
so do you think that the changes that have taken place here have been after the war, the rapid change when the population really exploded out this way, do you think it's been a good thing, and did you cope with it all right yourself?
Well, see, we've got such a population now, I suppose it was a good thing, but myself, I preferred the way it was before the war.
Did you find shopping harder?
No, worried. No, and I walked to town a mile and walked back a mile. And when I was younger, we were pushing a pram. And you had afternoons, the girls came and brought their babies, you know. Of course, it's a different generation altogether now, and as I say, you can't speak, you look at people to smile at them if you pass, but everybody doesn't look at you to smile. And we had a thing going in Port that whoever had the best smile, you smiled at people to try to, you know, get it going. People were saying, you know, what a lovely town it was because everybody was smiling at them. And it should be done more often, I think. You've got to pass, no matter who you pass, smile at them. If you don't want to speak, you haven't got to speak, just smile. And it'll sort of grow on you.
So you think one of the main things is that it's become less friendly?
I think so, yes. And the washing machines and the different things they have, all these labour saving things, are fabulous, especially for the women.
Yeah.
But all these other things are bad for the young ones that are growing up. All these fast cars and all that sort of thing. I think they should be cut back to only be able to do a certain speed or something like that. You know, I think this, and now the children have grown up. The way they've grown up, they've got to be entertained all the time, no matter whether they're 6 or 7 or 8. They find themselves glued to the television, and it's not always good for them. And this turtle thing that they have on, well, we know that is not so good because we know different accidents that have happened with that, and running recently. But good, nice movies on the screen. Well, not movies for the little ones, but comic strips and that, nice ones. All should be, you know.
It's more violent.
Entertainment. Too many war things like that. But.
And what about security too? You know, you don't feel so free to walk around the streets at night or anything like that.
I used to walk the mile home when I was 17, 18, 19. And Mum would just be lying in bed, just waiting to know I was home, and that was all. No other reason. And I just walked home. I never thought anybody might be chasing me or anything like that. It was, didn't enter your head. And that's only with population and wars and that too, I think. But I think the country was a lot better living that way. It's brought a lot of badness with it, all the the populations and that. It has brought a lot of badness, and the TV, I'd say, and the movies, you know. And
when after the war, a lot of migrants came up from Europe too. They would have helped the population expand. Did you have much to do with European migrants in the community?
Well, not much. Mm. I never ever thought after the war that I would have a Japanese in my home, but I did. Mm. I had a lovely exchange student.
Did you?
And she was beautiful, and beautifully spoken, and beautifully mannered, and quiet. And I thought to myself, oh goodness, this is lovely. And I was a bit scared about having her, and I thought, well, I've got to put on a brave face. But she was really beautiful.
Mm.
And I've got Chinese living beside me now, and they are lovely. And you don't hear that noise and that you might hear from your own lot, especially your own Australian boys. You might get four or five of them in a flat, and the noise is terrible. But there can be four or five of those in the unit next to me, and it's all nice and quiet, and they're nice and clean, and we always smile at one another. And I don't always speak, I do sometimes, but I know one of them has a bit of trouble making me understand him. I think it might be.
I think we're running out of tape, so I think we've just about covered everything.
That's good, then. I hope you can use some of it.
Thank you very
much. We will have a cup now, Bree. You're still around.
Yeah.